Honestly, if you all aren't listening to Hip Hop Digest, I don't know what you're doing. Please join me, Danielle Smith, on the next episode.
You're now listening to a Hip Hop Digest special interview with King Killer, Kurt G, and E Green.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. And
you forgot to say that this is a special interview series.
I forgot to say that?
No, he said it.
you said it?
I'm tripping.
Yeah,
you excited, my nigga.
I am. Yes. You know how you fanboy out sometimes or something. I'm fan manning right now.
Okay.
About to do some things.
I might have to calm you down.
So, a little bit. All right. So like I said, this is like King Killer said, this is an interview series, and we have a world-renowned journalist on here with us. A world-renowned, and I say journalist because it's bigger than hip-hop, right? It's bigger than hip-hop. We have Danielle Smith. How you doing tonight, ma'am?
Man, listen, I'm so happy to be here. Super happy to be here.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it because, you know, I reached out and I tried to explain it. We're not the typical hip-hop podcast or blog type stuff. We consider ourselves the meet the press of hip hop, so to speak.
Okay.
We're gonna have some fun.
Okay.
I mean,
let's go. I appreciate you guys reaching out. I've been covering hip hop for most of my career since the early 90s, really.
Okay.
You know, my book is out, Shine Bright, a very personal history of Black women in pop. And I think it was in the note that you guys sent that I didn't cover a lot of hip hop in the book. But you guys felt that I might have something to say about rap because I've been covering it for a long time. So I my interest was really piqued. I was like, no one's really sent me a note like that. So I was like, let's go on ahead and accept that. It sounds like it could be fun.
Okay, no doubt. So on this podcast, we got a couple of introductory questions. First of all, you want to tell us, you know, where you from originally?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think everybody knows that I'm from East Oakland, California. I mean, it's not a secret.
From the soil?
I am from East Oakland, California. I think Oakland is known as the number one city in the entire universe. We breed the coolest and the best and the smartest, the ones that go the furthest and the ones that keep home in their heart the deepest. So I am definitely from Oakland, California, all day, as we say in the Bay.
Don't hold back, you know what I'm saying? You can brag a little bit.
A little bit?
Like, just a little bit. Piquito.
Okay, no doubt. And so the next introductory question is, what is the first piece of music that you ever bought with your own money?
Don't have to be hip-hop.
What is the first piece of music I bought with my own money? That's such a good question. So I'm in junior high school.
Okay.
Going towards high school. I think it's Rick James, honestly.
Okay. Shit.
I think I'm busting out of this L7 square, that type of situation.
Classic.
Yes, I think I did. And I think that on the album sleeve, they had an address you could write to join the fan club. And you know, I wrote to it and they sent me back some pins. And I still remember it said Punk Funk. And I was a Catholic school girl, so we had a lot of rules and regulations about our outfit. We had to wear a uniform, obviously, but we could wear stuff on the lapels of our little blazer. And I had my little Punk Funk pin, and you really couldn't tell me anything.
Busting out on some serious funk.
Exactly. Busting out on some serious funk. Absolutely.
I no doubt. And being at this podcast is, especially it's hip hop oriented, we'd like to know your personal top three MCs.
And I always add this note, we don't care if it's three niggas that live in your neighborhood, just as long as they're personal to you.
Oh my God, why do people in hip hop, and when I say people, I mean men, why do y'all always want the Mount Rushmore or some version of that? That's y'all's favorite.
Oh, no.
No. We said personal.
No, you're personal.
You're personal. We don't care if it's three people that live next door to you, people nobody ever heard of. It's you.
Just me, my person.
Yes, you're personal.
Okay. You're personal, yes.
My personal.
Yes, you're personal. It could be you,
only
you
yours.
And you.
Who I listen to like a lot and stuff.
Yes.
So then I'm gonna start with Chuck D from Public Enemy.
Oh shit. Oh.
They're directly from there. I'm gonna go to a gentleman known as DJ Quick. Mm-hmm. And then I'm gonna be with Jay-Z after that.
Okay, that's official.
That's official. Mm-hmm. Quick don't get a lot of love.
And check this out.
He doesn't. Born and raised in Compton. I can still do the whole born and raised in Compton. My husband always tells me that he really decided he wanted to get married like on the third date. He didn't tell me. But we was listening to music at my apartment, and he's from Queens, so he don't really have nothing to do with the West. And he was like, so who are you listening to? And I was like, I still love Quick. And I put on Born and Raised in Compton, and I rapped the whole record for him. He was like, oh, I think I could really mess with him. I think we could do this. Like, I think it could be something here.
So you might be a B-boy. I might like you a lot.
Wow. Well, check this out. I want this to be noted. This is probably the first time that you have no argument from your top three, huh?
Okay, it's not a bad.
That's what
top
we do.
Three.
We if you do say so yourself.
And no I doubt. Love Chuck. No I mean, Chuck D is just he's a hero of mine. I've seen him live any number of times back when P used to do those tours. In the early 90s, I saw them perform live so many times. The shows were so incredible. And then just, you know, it was such a time just to fight the power and Brothers Gonna Work It Out, 911 Is a Joke, Burn, Hollywood Burn, all of those things. Can't trust it. Like, these things meant so much to me even before I got into the business of writing about music, before I was in the quote-unquote industry. I was a fan of DJ Quick. I was a fan of Public Enemy and Chuck D even before I was writing about music.
All right, no doubt.
So, speaking on that note, what was it about hip hop that you made you gravitate towards it?
Y'all be asking some interesting fundamental questions. What was it that made me gravitate toward it? I mean, so the first hip hop song that I really, really heard was Rapper's Delight. I was probably in the eighth grade, ninth grade. My junior high school was obsessed with the song. We were all writing down the lyrics of the record. And the thing that made me love it so much is, as much as I love Motown, as much as I love Philly Soul, as much as I love all of that my parents came up on, we didn't have a music that was really for us. It seemed like it was directly ours. So when I heard Rapper's Delight, I was like, oh, this very much seems like it's mine, like it's ours. And also the fact that the parents and stuff were like, that sounds like some BS. Okay, so then that made me like it more. And then, when I was in, you know, and then I think I wasn't really that into it that much after that. Like, there was a whole period where I was just like into Midnight Star and I was into groups like that. I wasn't really like a hip hop head. I think I would be dating people and they would be like, oh, you really need to listen to Eric B and Rakim. And I would be like, okay.
Oh, what?
I'm not from New York. So I wasn't just automatically like, oh my God, he's the lyricist of all time. But when they played the show, from Dougie Fresh when I was like a freshman or a junior in college. It was just undeniable. When they was playing Hard Times, I remember being at a college dance and they put on Hard Times and it just melted the room. Like, I think it was at an Alpha Phi Alpha dance actually. And they played the record like three or four times in a row. And I just felt like it just melted the room. And what brought me to it, like I said, it felt like it was ours. Like it felt like I said, I want to dance to Heat Waves Always and Forever on at midnight like everybody else did back in our day. But to be on a dance floor when Hard Times came on and you're 19 or 20, man, it was just magical. It just was the bass, just the bass alone. And then when I started listening to like Gangstar and stuff like that, and then I was in Oakland, so then it was like Too Short, Digital Underground, you know what I mean, MC Hammer, and I love Hammer. And I count him as much a part of rap as anybody else. But those groups, you know, Hyro, all of that, it's like, man, it just enveloped me. I don't even, it's such an emotional question. Like I just, there's nothing to explain to people to me. There's nothing that I can say that can make people understand how much I love rap and how much I feel like I've been writing and working in defense of it since I started out.
Okay. You know, what you just did was pretty much a definition of how I know I feel about hip hop. It's like, it's nothing you can explain. It's a feeling that you get.
Right?
It's a feeling. You can't explain it to anybody.
Yes.
If you don't have that feeling, then you're just not into it.
And you know what I say? If you don't have that feeling, then I don't know if you can come to the cookout, my G. Like, I don't know.
Well, before King Killer gets in, because King Killer's going to get you with some questions.
Okay.
I'm noticing that you are using the word rap. Mm-hmm. Do you do that to separate it from hip hop, or do you just prefer to call it rap over hip hop?
I think coming up, when I was younger, I think in Oakland, and then I moved to New York, I think in 93 or 94, I think in both places, it seemed like if you called something hip hop, then it was real and better. And somehow rap was somehow a little bit lesser or something. So I think because I was at Vibe and everybody in New York just felt it was like hip hop was the thing that we called it in the 90s. It was hip hop. And if you called it rap, it just seemed like it was a lesser term. I think now the kids tend to call everything rap. And I think if you call it hip hop, it makes it seem like it's older or you're older if you're using that term. So I actually use them interchangeably. I'm not this person that believes in like hip hop is better than rap. I just feel like it's all of a piece. I really do use it just interchangeably.
Okay. And I only ask that because I consider rap to be part of hip hop, like graffiti, DJing, b-boying, mm-hmm. all that. So as a part of it. So I was just wondering if you were like pulling that out just to talk about mm-mm. that part of it. But I mm-mm. get what you're saying.
And sometimes I really feel like in Oakland, I don't know if we were always thinking of like the five elements of hip hop the way people did in New York. Like, I feel like when I got to New York, people were always talking about the five elements of hip hop, graffiti, all these different things. It's not that we didn't have those things in Oakland. I just don't know if we talked about them like that. Or thought of it like that. I think if anything, we thought of hip hop as actually rhyming, maybe breakdancing, and actually making beats. I think that's what we thought it was.
Oh, okay. All right, Killer.
No, I actually, my question is, I like to circle back on your reaction when you were like a man always wanting this Mount Rushmore of hip hop sort of thing. So I guess I'm kind of curious in that, just in the fact that I think, and at least it's just coming from me, I think the set who is on a Mount Rushmore is important, just only if it's to educate, again, a younger peer who, I mean, okay, they may know about Tupac, but they don't know about Tupac, and Tupac can certainly be on a Mount Rushmore, but I guess, is that a negative connotation, or you sort of, like you said, man, probably, oh, who's your top three? And we always put personal into it, but is that something that we do from your perspective?
It's such an interesting conversation because I tend to not think about music like that. Like, I just am not always trying to put music into a thing of like, this is my top five, this is my top 10, this is my top three. I just don't hear music like that. Like, I don't know a different way to say it. I think, again, when I was really editing magazines, and this was the kind of things we did, like, these are the top 76, you know, songs that Lil Wayne made in the last 5 years. Like, this is the kind of things we used to build. You know what I mean? We used to do that kind of thing all the time. Like, these are, I remember we did a cover one time, the 101 best love songs ever in history, R&B love songs in history. So we used to build these kinds of things, but I feel like maybe it's because I used to be a Billboard editor at Billboard, is I would always like to put in data. I am a person that believes in how much a record sold. I am a person that believes in how much a record was played on the radio. I am a person that also takes into consideration what is its kind of magical impact on culture. I take a lot of things into consideration. And I also think those kind of things change every year. Like, I just really can't sit up and say, who's my Mount Rushmore? Because if you ask me on Tuesday, on Thursday, it might be different because maybe I didn't listen to Biggie for a long time when you asked me on Tuesday. But then on Wednesday, I said, man, I just listened to Flavor in Your Ear 16 times in a row. How do I not have Biggie on my Mount Rushmore? So I'll just put him on there if you ask me on Thursday. And then somebody will say, but you just said, and I'll say, but that was valid, as the new one is valid. And I also think, when I say the thing about men, I will say this. I feel like when I was covering rap early in my career, there was only a few of us girls out there really doing it. And it's safe to say that a lot of the guys weren't really loving us doing it. And I used to feel like there was some kind of thing that they would always try to test you on your knowledge of hip hop.
Right.
Or test you, you know what I mean, on your, well, if you didn't listen to this record, then you're not really thorough enough to be writing about rap or whatever. And it used to really scare me. It used to really intimidate me until I realized that I don't really care anymore what you think about what I like, because what I like, my opinion, what I put a priority on knowing about matters as much as you. And that was a big, big step for me.
Okay. All right.
Y'all got go another one, Curtis.
I mean, I'll say that. So who I got again? I got Irvin, I got Curtin, I got King.
King Killer.
Okay. DJ King Killer. Okay. Y'all taking me back. I appreciate it. All
right.
So, I appreciate it.
So to be truthful here, I'm that guy. Which you just described, I'm that guy. I'm that guy who is throwing out tests. I'm that guy who's throwing out litmus tests because I, in my opinion, other music, it benefits other genres of music who do that. It benefits rock. It benefits country. It benefits, and I think that urban music, we tend to sort of step on, or each generation or the next generation tends to step on the next. If you're a young kid and you're playing guitar, you know exactly who Jimi Hendrix is. And we don't do that in hip hop, especially in hip hop. Maybe lesser extent in R&B, but I don't even know about R&B. So yeah, I'm that guy. I'm that guy who throws out the litmus test. If you wasn't down with this, that, and the third, then not so much. I mean, obviously, you know, you could write about those things, but I wouldn't consider you to have the full scope of the situation, depending on what you was writing about. So for full disclosure, I'm that guy.
No, I mean,
full disclosure.
I understand, like, the benefits of, like, a genre having, like, a canon, as they say, right?
Right.
Like,
yes.
These are the people, right? I just like for the canon to always be argued about. Like you mentioned Jimi Hendrix in rock and stuff like that. I feel like, sure, let's definitely talk about Hendrix, but you know, I'm gonna throw Chuck Berry in there too.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna throw, you know, I feel like the canon guy, the Mount Rushmore thing, I think, gets under my skin a little bit because it's literally etched in stone.
I get it.
It's literally like a big old mountain where they etched the people in stone, and that's never changing. I just feel like it's always a conversation. Now, I'm not just gonna throw, let me not throw nobody under the bus right now.
Kind of fit, you got a day job.
Yeah, I'm not just gonna throw any random person even into the conversation about a Rushmore. But I do think that to narrow it down to just like, these are the four, these are the five or whatever, and that's it, and it's not up for discussion any further, I don't like those kind of conversations. And I also think, also just being a woman in rap, it's like, women are so often not even thought of in these conversations that it's very difficult for me to just enter into these conversations, because I'm like, but you guys aren't even considering everybody. Y'all are just considering the people that you like the best. And just to tie that up in a bow, I would say this. There's so many people right now saying, you know, New York rap is falling off, or it's not the same as it used to be. And I'm just like, Cardi B is from the Bronx. She literally from the Bronx. She literally selling more records than Jesus right now. And if you listen to Bodak Yellow, the lyricism is off the chain. So I just feel like, so if you want to just have a conversation about New York rap being, you know, having fallen off, you could say that really New York rap is really at the forefront. But nobody really wants to say that.
You know what
that's
it is
an
about
interesting
that?
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know what it is about that is because it doesn't sound like what people think New York rap sounds like.
Yes.
There's what the problem is. That's where you're going with it. As far as they don't think that what New York rap is supposed to sound like, that's not that. The guys up in Buffalo, New York, is doing what New York rap used to sound like, at least a variation of that. So they're saying, well, if she ain't doing that, then she ain't hip hop. She ain't New York hip hop.
Listen, I'm that person that's always arguing against the dominance of New York rap. I am. I can't even lie. I'm from the West, but it's not even that I'm from the West. It's just that there's also the South, obviously the Midwest, all of these places that New York rap tends to act like don't really exist on the level that they exist. And I just can't, when I listen to particularly, let's just take it to the debut with Bodak. how is that not sounding like New York rap? She literally rapping about bloody shoes and like stripping in New York clubs, and she's rapping like in baritone, and she's clearly not even going for a pop success with that record. They just put that out there so she people could know that she was thorough and that she was really about being a lyricist and telling her story. It's very clean, it's very basic, it's very, there's no way to think, oh, this is gonna be a big pop record or anything like that. And everybody just acted like she's not a New York rapper. And I just, that's why I say when these conversations come up, like, I just feel like if you guys don't wanna have, if not you guys, but people in general, if there's not a conversation being had that it really is inclusive of girls, which is something I've been fighting, you know, my whole career, then I'm just like, I just don't know the real conversation that we're having. And I've been, when you say, is that, that's Kurt over there.
Yes.
You say, I'm that guy.
Oh, you're talking about Killer.
Oh, that's yeah. King Killer.
Killer,
that's
I'm King that guy, yeah.
Okay, so I just want to say, I'm married to that guy. And we've been arguing, it's our 17th year married this year. We've been arguing about it for 19 years. So some of my best friends in the world, my best male friends in the world are that guy. And to me, the guys that are those guys, the best ones, are the ones that are like, yes, let's argue it out. Like, let's cut it up, play it, back it up, speak your piece. Like, I love those kinds of conversations. The kind of conversations that I don't enjoy are the ones where it's like, these are the four, that's it. If you don't agree with that, then it's not even a conversation. Like, if that's the person, then I'm just like, I'm drunk, you're over there, I'm buying drinks for the people over here.
Well, let me ask you this then. Let me say this then, because we have an appreciation for what's happening, but we don't gravitate towards that. So when you say women being involved, what we ask for, people of like us, we just ask for more diversity. Can we hear more Sah Rock? Can we hear some more Jean Grey? Can we bring Bahamadia back along with the Cardis and the other Megans of the world? We just ask for some diversity, because if we're only seeing Bodak, then all these other incredible women are getting pushed.
Yeah, no, I mean, let me not act like the music industry is always trying to push the Bahamadias of the world, because it isn't. But it's not just the Cardis that I enjoy. My obsession right now with regard to a woman in rap, and just I don't even want to put her in that category, because I just like her as a rapper regardless of woman or man, is Cash Doll out of Detroit. Like, when I hear Cash Doll rapping, it's part of my language. I heard you bitches was looking for me, bitch, here I go. It's like, and then she says it again, just with the cadence just slightly different. I'm ready to devote my whole life to her.
Wow. Like, she's speaking to my heart.
She's down for the cause. Right.
The song is like 2.5 minutes long. It's like 2.5 minutes long. That's like a Motown record. Like, who's making records that's 2.5 minutes long? And to me, the only reason that you can make a record that's 2.5 minutes long is because you're that confident that 2.5 minutes is all you really need to get your point across. So, like I say, I'm speaking for Cardi, absolutely. But I believe in other rappers who aren't necessarily, and I believe, I think the future is in front of Cash Doll. We don't know. She could end up being Cardi B the second. We don't know. But right now, she's a rapper out of Detroit that's representing for her town and for her state and for her area with so much thoroughness and so much soul and so much, like, just like, it's just a certain toughness about her that I love from girl rappers. So yeah, like we do need that diversity. So let me not just act like, cause Cardi is a fave, but Cash Doll is a fave.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, with that, you mentioned this, but again, do you think, and we call it again, you're new to this and we're talking to you, we call that type of rap bra and panty rap. And wait, that is very
proud. No, wait. Let me sip my fake ginger ale as you say that. What?
let me let you know we call it the bra and panty set.
I need you to repeat that.
The bra and panty set. Let me give you some background on it. The bra and panty set is what it's called because it's the Cardi style, it's the Megan style, it goes back to Lil' Kim style, it goes back to the ones that, because of that cover to Lil' Kim, that's where that comes from. The bra and panty set. Because of what they rhyme about a lot of, and the things that they say, and their image that they portray is the only image that gets put out there for female rappers. If you're not looking like them or doing what they're doing or saying what they're saying, as you saying, a Cash Doll or whatever, or any of Bahamadia types, they don't get no love unless they starting to take off some clothes and get into the bra and panty set.
And on top of that, which, and I'll add to this, is that, and Bahamadia is one of my favorite all-time MCs. In my humble opinion, she's better than a lot of those women who are commercially successful. And on this podcast, we always study the fact they are commercially successful, and, you know, because of that fact.
And that's okay.
But let's not act like they're not successful because of that fact. Because if they put clothes on and if she sings Bodak Yellow, you know, fully dressed, you know what I'm saying, in a hoodie and Tim's, I don't know if it is a big record.
It's a tough conversation. But let me just push back a little bit on that.
We want to push
indeed,
back.
Yeah, no doubt.
And let me say that we spoke about diversity. I feel like there's room for all of it. I love to see the girls in the bras and panties. I do. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm like, girl, you look good. Like, you look good. And I love the confidence of just like being like, I can move my body and I can use my body as a power move. And I love all of that. I literally love it. But then when you look at somebody like Lauryn Hill, for example, is it wrong to say that Lauryn Hill is a little bit like Bahamadia on steroids a little bit? Like Lauryn Hill is that type of woman artist that keeps it more conservative with regard to how she's presenting herself? That Lauren could sing Bodak Yellow, could rap Bodak Yellow, I should say, in a hoodie, and still sell the how many 10 million albums that she sold?
I mean, she could.
That she won.
And we're a fan of that. I guess, again, we're always, at least on this podcast, we're always pining for more of that. I mean, look, you know, obviously those women who can make the power moves with their bodies, you know, that's standard fare. That's going to be there, you know, and for each generation of woman who comes up, if you happen to be picked for that, you can do that. Great artist. And that's where it comes from. Great artists, I think, get so looked over because, again, I'm that guy. It's like, you know, okay. Quite frankly, Lauryn Hill is still going to be able to do Lauryn Hill at 50.
She might be.
You know?
She is.
You know, and to me, that's legacy. That's you know, that's, you know, and we had a tough conversation. I mean, now, obviously it's different for men, but if we have that tough conversation, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that it's not going to be so easy, for example, for a girl that comes out with the body move, so to speak, when they're older, because they're not going to have that youthful and beautiful body.
Right. And then that's where does their lyrics, does the actual song carry them past that? Is the strength of the music actually going to carry them past that? I think other MCs have stronger music and that their music would carry them if given an equal opportunity.
I mean, I can't call it. The hopeful side of me, it makes me want to say that, you know, maybe the girls who are giving you sexy right now can give you sexy in a different way when they're 50. Because listen, I'm 50. And
welcome to the club.
Yeah, we all that.
So it's I don't know if I'm really trying to roll up in my bikini. But my thing is, what if I did?
You'd be on your cash though.
I would. And if people had something to say about it, they should say it away from me.
Oh, no.
Got something to say, bitch, then say it.
They should say it in that direction. If I'm in this direction, they should say it in that direction. I mean,
we had those same.
Like, listen, I just really wish that we were in a world, honestly, and this is just a wishful thought, an optimistic thought, that women and men MCs were considered on the same level. That, you know what I mean?
That would be great.
Yes, that's what I really would love the most. Like, I would love that the most. If they could just be considered on the same level. Like, a tragedy for me is somebody, I think like Queen Latifah when she was rapping. Oh man, I miss it. UNITY, I miss it all. Latifah's had it up to here, all of it. I miss it all. But you know, I'm sure Dana Owens, who is Queen Latifah, had a conversation with herself at a certain point and said, is hip hop even a space for me where I can really elevate to my highest levels? Or do I kind of have to move into other spaces to become like, to really get my creativity off? Cause this isn't even like a jamming space for me. That's the thing that bothers me. I think there's a lot of Bahamadias, there's a lot of Lauryn Hills, there's a lot of women out there like that who say, I can rap, definitely. Everybody in the lunchroom think I can rap. You know what I mean? My partner thinks I can rap. The kids in my hood think I can rap. But why would I do it? Because it's not really a jamming space. They don't even really like girl rappers in hip hop. That's the thing that bothers me.
Well, let me try to change the subject a little bit because what's that?
I said, I hope pivot.
Get out of this space.
Yeah, no doubt. we had those same conversations with men MCs as well.
We do.
I mean,
do you? I hope so, because I was like, if you guys only invited me here to talk about girl things, because I love to talk about girl things. I wrote a book about women. I have a podcast about women. But I thought you guys really was want me on here just to talk about rap.
Nah, well, yeah.
Everybody, so, men, right. Women, everybody.
Well, here comes a rap question for you then. Mm-hmm. All right. Why do you think it is that other genres artists, major artists who are performing and touring and still even making records late into their 60s, almost 70s, yet we want to, I know hip hop is what, 46, 47, whatever, somewhere close to that. But why do we dispose of our artists? Why don't we allow our artists to bloom like the other genres? Bloom into their older age, that is.
I just begin to wonder about, like, okay, so who is we?
We as in the hip hop community, hip hop genre. Oh, we, who are we to that push
like,
them off?
When you say, it's like, why don't we allow? Who is we?
Oh, okay. So the general public, the general hip hop public. For a lot of years, we've said, oh, hip hop is a young man's sport, all this young lady sport, all of that kind of stuff. But it's an art form, right? Hip hop is an art that mm-hmm. People make records that touch our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hold on to that, but yet we don't get the chance to.
It's on a festival, but we don't get to generally see like how the Rolling Stones tour. We don't get to see
Ultramagnetic tour.
Okay. A couple of things. One, I think is changing. I think we're going to see artists like Jay-Z touring until he literally cannot anymore. I think we're going to see artists like Cardi B touring until she literally cannot anymore or doesn't want to anymore. I think that those types of artists are going to sit down not because they're made to, but because they want to. And I also really think that I don't know if it's we, the fans, that don't allow it. Mm. I think it's we, the concert promoters. I think it's we, the promoters that do not believe in blackness enough to allow it to age gracefully. Mm. I can give you an example that's a little bit outside of hip hop, but speaks to the point. So there's Gladys Knight, there's Patti LaBelle, and there's Stephanie Mills. Mm. They're on tour together right now. They're doing arenas. Arenas. Arenas where basketball teams sell out. Okay, so they're playing like, you know, like the Forum and stuff like that, where the Lakers used to play. So I was speaking to some people on the teams of that show. And when that show was pitched, again, platinum recording artist Stephanie Mills, legacy platinum recording artist Gladys Knight, legacy platinum recording artist Patti LaBelle, that's they put all three of them. And the initial response was they can't play arenas.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely incredible.
And that's what they
like. The show can't play arenas was the feedback. They can't play arenas. So they really had to like fight for it and nobody wanted to believe. And it's just like, what are you talking about? They all sell out amphitheaters and bigger. Why wouldn't they sell out arenas together? They're selling out across the country. So my thing is some of that energy goes to hip hop too. And it's gone to hip hop, honestly, from even when it was a youth driven art form. I was talking about Public Enemy earlier, and it's like, I remember that tour when it was like, let me show my age, when it was like Public Enemy, Digital Underground, Heavy D and the Boys, Big Daddy Kane with Scoop and Scrap, Queen Latifah and the Safari Sisters. On some dates, MC Bree joined Kid and Play. It was a tour of tours, okay? The only reason that Chuck was able to get that tour off the ground, because it was a Public Enemy Center tour, is because Chuck said we would have, that they would have artists, when they would go to certain areas of the country, they would get an artist from that area. So when they played the Midwest, they would have Reed. When they played the Southeast, they would have Luke and Me So Horny, that energy. When they played, you know what I mean, the Northwest, they would have Sir Mix-a-Lot. But all this tap dancing and choreography had to get done just to get that tour to boom. That tour was sold out, sold out, sold out, sold out. But Chuck had to beg, borrow, and steal to get promoters to believe that that could roll. I'm sure right now, honestly, there's all types of legacy acts that could go out and sell out arenas. Hip hop acts. Oh, that fans would.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, fans would be getting paycheck loans to buy the tickets. But promoters are like, well, I don't know. Because hip hop is so consistently viewed as second best, not good enough, not the same as rock, not as good as rock, not as empirical as rock or country. I think it's not the fans. I don't think it's hip hop fans. We're to blame for a lot. I'm not trying to act like we're the perfect fan group. But I don't think this is a place where we take the blame. I don't. I really think that people would be lining up to see Legacy X. Let me tell you, even with Jam Master Jay going, God bless the dead, if they centered a tour just around Run and DMC getting it back together and did the Pioneer Acts and the also some groups from just the early 90s and the mid 90s that went out on, like, my age group also got willing, the older you get, hopefully the more money you start to make, would shell out dough to go see that. The way, did you see my heart beating when I was talking about Hard Times?
No doubt.
Yes.
Yep.
You think I don't want to see that live right now? Threatened just like the flu. My other thing is, like, where's Dougie Fresh right now? Why Dougie Fresh is not Dougie Good Fresh question. Of Friends with New York rappers from his era? Because I'm spending my money. I'm buying an outfit.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Well, so then we will take some of the blame off of ourselves.
Yes.
And we will take what you said into deep consideration, because that's a very good point. Very good point. And then the next thing I want to bring, this is a hot one, okay? This is a hot one.
Oh, no.
The lyrics of trap rappers being used against them in court.
No.
How do you feel about that? You see, I sat back, right?
It's unfortunate. I want to be the older lady that says, these boys need to rap about some more positive things in their community. These boys need to straighten up and act right. These boys need to just be, you know, better representatives of the culture. But I'm not that lady. I'm from East Oakland. I came up when crack ruled everything around me. I did not see the services that were available to young Black guys that were trying to make something out of themselves. I did not see positive interaction between young Black men and law enforcement. I didn't understand how crack was in the communities. This is back in the late 80s and early 90s. I didn't see after school programs. I didn't see any of these things that help build communities so that they don't have to be crack houses and what they call now the trap. So I just can't co-sign people being arrested and indicted and stuff for the art that they make. To be 100% clear, there's laws. If you break them, you have to go to jail. It's a country that we live in. That's the world that we live in. But if the law that you broke was rhyming about where you're from and the situations that you've been in, no, I cannot co-sign it.
Totally understand that. But thinking about this whole thing this last week, been thinking about it personally, and it's like, we should have seen this coming. We should have seen this coming a long time ago with the introduction of the hip-hop police. Once they started that, where else were they going to go? What were they going to police? What were they going to do? Dig and try to find things. But we, and I'm using the term we, I'm not a rapper, but we have kind of made it. Not everybody is doing what they say on their records. We know that. That goes all the way back to any genre of any song. Everybody's not particularly has 27 men that you love or six girls just knocking on your door. Not everybody has that, right? But when you have people who create something based on things that they did do and it can be proven, I guess I gotta kind of say it's a not you did it to yourself, but you kind of did it to yourself. We've talked long ago about there's, well, it goes back to, again, diversity. We talked about all the time, there's things that people could be rapping about that would be hits. You could talk about the love for your mom. Tupac did it. You could talk about all kinds of things. But we, our youth, are just enamored with this street mentality. And we would be, if we were to sit here and say that some of these cats are doing that stuff and then they rhyme about it.
Oh, I mean, without speaking on any specific situations, because I don't really know anyway. Yes, I mean, don't let me quote above the law because I'm from California.
All right, now.
But one of my favorite songs of all time is Black Superman from Above the Law. It's just a line in the song where he says, once in a lifetime, everybody done some dirt. And
it's a great record.
It is. Great record.
It's a great record. Yeah.
It's a great record. Because to my mama, I'm a real Black Superman. Like, what? Those guys.
Yeah.
So underrated. Once in a lifetime, everybody done some dirt. Or again, maybe I'm just from East Oakland.
No, I think it's two things. I think that obviously there is obviously a freedom of speech component. Yes, you can do, there are, and two, look, no one is giving law enforcement, you know, huge pats on the back for listening to rap lyrics and then starting cases on any particular MCs. But I guess as you become successful and you start to learn some things and you start to grow, there, you know, you have freedom of to do your art, but there's no guarantee that you're not going to have freedom from those consequences.
It's not.
And that's, I guess that's where I kind of land on it. I hate to see any of these young guys get jammed up. That's not, especially the way they're getting jammed up. But there's a certain consequence when you...
I want people to not be rapping about selling dope. Let me be clear.
Okay, right.
I mean, want people to not be rapping about selling dope. I really would love that. I want people to not be rapping about selling dope in 89, 95, 2000, 2005, 2011, 2015, 2019, and 2022. But the thing is, it's dope in the community.
And you're going to have, yes.
This is the thing that confuses me. And I think I'm a smart girl.
You are. And I give you all credit. But for me, on this situation where I fall at, is I'm like, okay, guys, I understand that you sell dope and you've done some things. And like you said, everybody's done dirt. Nobody's hands are clean. And you got some skeletons in the closet. But I'm like, guys, all right, you out here rhyming about this shit and you're saying you're so dope and everything. Do you have to be so fucking truthful? Do you have to give exact details to what the fuck you're doing?
No, you don't.
You know what I'm saying? You have to actually, if you did it, don't admit it. I hate to sound like a preacher, but damn, don't do it. Don't be sitting here telling on yourself.
I'm so ready to pivot. Y'all have me, and this is the pivot show. I'm ready to pivot. I literally, this is what I want. I don't want the boys to rap about dope. I don't want them to get arrested for the things they're rapping about. But more than both of those things, I want for dope not to be in the communities. I want for there to be other opportunities for the guys that they don't feel like this is the only out that they have. I'm not one of those people that say, oh, but they could be so different. Oh, they could just go to college. Oh, they could just be up at the JC. Okay, but where though? Where are those counselors? Where are those after school programs? Where are those people that are helping them along their way? I'm sorry. Like, I grew up in a space where I just saw brilliant dudes, good looking dudes with beautiful smiles. I seen them shot down. I have those folks in my life. I know dudes in St. Quentin right now. I wish it was different in every place, not just in the rap space. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right, let me pivot out then. Okay, we got somebody really live here in the industry. You write about that. So I want to ask you about the sound. And I'm talking about the actual physical sound of today's music.
Okay.
And I'm the 55-year-old guy. Now I'm going to, playing a role. It sounds the same to me.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I'm that guy that sounds the same to me. I'm going to ask you about your perceptions about the actual physical sound of music. Analog versus digital, sample versus,
I mean, it's different. But I'm not 20. What sounded good to me at 20 sounded horrifying to my mother and my aunties,
yes,
and my uncles.
Yes,
it did. So this is the way I feel about it, though. And maybe this is a commitment that I made to myself when I was in my mid-20s and was really into rap and writing about rap all the time, was I hated the way the older rock critics tried to act like Nirvana and all those type of groups were so whack compared to the rock groups of the 60s and 70s. I thought that was trifling and short-sighted. I just didn't like it, and I thought it was mean. And I said, when I'm old, and this is when I was young, I was like, when I'm old, I just don't want to be that girl. I just don't want to be that girl. And I've really held myself to that. And the only thing that really helps me is going out. I have to go out. I have to go see Drake when he's in town. And now Drake is an OG himself. So when I really want to hear, like, who does my nephew like? I will sit up with my nephew and I will listen to NBA Youngboy. I will sit up with my nephew and listen to Young Blue. I will sit up with my nephew and listen to what he is listening to. He's still listening to Future. He's 17, he just graduated from high school. Because I want to know. I just don't want to be that person that's like, oh, well, they all mumbling, so I don't want to listen to it. I just am disciplined, honestly, in not being that person. I listen to...
But do you feed him?
Do I what?
I'm sorry, do you feed him? Do you feed him music that your nephew, when you're listening to his style?
Oh, it's a two-way street. It's 4,000% a two-way street now. He gonna have to listen to NWA. You know what I'm saying? He gonna have to listen to that.
Okay.
he's going to have to listen to that because he has to see where it comes from. One night we took him to something. I think Snoop was performing, you know, I guess it's Jimmy Kimmel will do these live outdoor concerts. It's pre-COVID. And Snoop was performing. And he was really trying to act like, it's no big deal. Like, Uncle Snoop, like, yawn. We introduce him, my husband and I introduce him to Snoop, and he can't even speak.
Wow.
He can't even. I said, I've seen you giving stronger handshakes to a priest, my guy. Like, he was like 16, and it's like, he knows, and he needs to be around people like Snoop. He needs to see that kind of thing. That mutual respect has to go back and forth. I just listen. We all get old, and we all don't. I don't listen to NBA YoungBoy on my own. I'm not home listening to that. But when my nephew's by the house, that's what we listen to because I want to know what interests him. And my nephew's like a blessed kid with a great parental situation with great grades and going to a good school. He's in a good, you know, space. But there's something about YoungBoy that speak to his soul. He a young black man in America. And there's something, even with all his blessings, the NBA YoungBoy, man, if you look at his life, it's rough. And I've looked at it. It's so hardcore. It's so, you just wish more for him. But something in how that guy's rapping speaks to my blessed nephew's soul. I got to know what's going on. So I get into it, and I do like Young Blue. My husband teases me. He's like, you really like Young Blue? I'm like, he playing Dubai. What's popping? Where we going? What's happening?
He's like, nah.
All right, well, look, we're getting close, so I got to get another pivot. Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, well, hip-hop / rap is called hip-hop or rap.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we come up with, and I'm speaking to people like yourself, because you are, and when I say the word influencer, I don't mean like on Instagram or something like that. You have a position of influence.
Okay.
Why is it so hard for us in our genre of music to separate and say, okay, well, this is classic hip hop. This is neo rap or whatever. Why is it so hard? Because I think everybody wants to, the current things that we don't consider hip hop, but the radio and TV and magazines say is hip hop. We think that just like rock and roll or even country or whatever, there should be sub-genres of this music. Why is that so hard?
Why is it so hard for us to have sub-genres?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I think because everything, I think in my opinion, NBA YoungBoy may be a good example. I don't know. Somebody's going to be like, oh, you know, he's not better, you know, Tupac's better than him, or NBA YoungBoy's better than Tupac, and they're not really the same. I mean, they're young black men, yes, and I tend to think that it's
of different generations.
Right, of course, no doubt, no doubt. And yes. I think there needs to be some nuance. I think some nuance there.
But wait, what's the exact question that you're asking me? Like, are you saying that we're unable as a group of fans and hip hop lovers to realize that there's different types of hip hop and they all should be accepted?
No, what's being
said?
That too, no. But what is being said is that since we have this argument about hip hop and rap being totally different and what hip hop is and what rap is, we're saying what these guys doing ain't hip hop. What they're doing is called trap or called this. So it should be just trap and if it's rap and hip hop and rap. Just some separation in there. Instead of trying to compare them. Because they're not the same thing. It's unfair to both to me. To be calling everything the same.
I mean, listen, y'all. I just really feel like I don't want to be too kumbaya with the situation, but if you're rapping, you're in the club, you're in the group, you're in the cohort, you've been jumped into the game. If you're rapping, I don't believe that if you're from the West, you got to stand over here. If you're in the trap, you got to stand over here. If you're a girl rapper, you got to stand over here. If you're a New York rapper, you got to stand over here. To quote Rodney King, like, can we all just get along? Everybody's rapping. Everybody is basically singing, rapping the blues of our time. Everybody is invited to the party. Everybody. I'm not saying everybody's music is the same level of greatness, no. But to separate everybody out in these, I'm not with it. I'm just not. And honestly, when people talk to me about, this is why I'm so happy to be talking to y'all. And may I say, because y'all, I have loved talking to you guys. You guys are, you said I'm that guy, right? You said I'm that guy. And it's like, you that guy, but you a good that guy, though. You guys
have. Oh, wow. That's a first. Like, that's a first.
No, it's true, though. It's some that guys that I'm avoiding in a mean way, too. Not like I'm scared, but I just ain't messing with that person. And I just feel like these kind of conversations matter because it's like, why are we putting everybody into these different categories? It's like hip hop came about because we needed it. It's like, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. It's like nobody had anything. We didn't have instruments. We didn't have anything. And they just made it up. It was a party. And then we began to say how we really feel. And then we began to say how mad we were. And then we still wanted to party. And then we wanted to be nasty. And then, you know, like, and then we wanted to be pop. And then people started dying. And then we didn't know if we were going to be able to stay alive as a genre after Biggie and Tupac. And then hip hop came back stronger than ever. And claim the space, not just in American culture, but in global culture. It's not perfect. It's problematic in many spaces. But so much of that is imposed upon us. I don't think that we have to add to it by saying, well, if you in the trap, well then, or if you're mumbling, well then, or if you're shaking your booty in bra and panties, well then, or you know what I mean? It's like, I'm here for the big festival. I'm here for the big party. And that's why I'm happy that you guys invited me.
Well, what you're doing right now, I don't know about for these guys, you're a great argument for the other side for me. You get to see things from the other side. So like you said, you're making people, we made you pivot on a few things. My mind is pivoting on a couple of things also about how you're speaking. Like, okay, I can hear why with the inclusion and having everybody together, but I'm still not completely pivoted, but I can hear.
All right, Ken. Okay. No, I hear you. No, but it's about the conversation. I feel like not enough of these conversations really happy. And again, I'll go back to the reason that I wanted to jump on the show with you guys because one, just the respect, and also just because I love talking about rap, and because there's not enough conversations just about rap. There's not enough conversations between men and women about rap, and you guys have really made my week. I really appreciate you guys inviting me, and I hope you guys will have me back sometime.
Oh, we definitely. So before we get out, I will say I have to, I'm still in the... I appreciate your perspective. I get to look at that the other side. I don't get to see that often. But to retort, there's so many, I guess because I'm that guy, there's so many nuances. Like Rapper's Delight. Rapper's Delight was Rapper's Delight, but the guys from the city didn't care for Rapper's Delight. And the guys from the South don't understand it, or other parts of the country, and they think that New York looks at them a certain kind of way. New York looks at New York that certain kind of way. The boroughs, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't even get down like that. So I think that there's nuances in hip hop that would help explain some of, let's say, category wise. Again, there's things that Atlanta claims, you know, and rightly so, that their city changed the way music was. And now you got New York guys sounding like Atlanta. So I think that there's nuance. And I think, you know, I think there's nuance and that it could be put in different categories respectfully if the nuance is explained.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying that these conversations are so important. I don't know everything about rap. I know y'all think y'all know everything about rap, but y'all probably don't know everything about rap. I didn't even know. Let me just give a quick example, and then y'all gonna have to let me go. But I just remember when I started really editing a particular writer who loves Southern rap, who's from the South, and he pitched me a story about Outkast. And I literally pronounced to him, let me get it straight, what I said. I said, I'm gonna pronounce it wrong in any case, but I was like, so you wanna write a story about Aquemini?
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, that's a classic.
Wow.
That is a classic.
Wow. You lose.
Hey, here's the thing. Let me tell you something. And let me tell you something about me. This wasn't that long ago.
Wow. Okay.
And I've been writing about rap for a
long
time.
Wow.
Okay.
Aquemini is a classic.
Hey, you know what? I do that.
So this is my thing, but this is my thing. The thing I appreciate about him is that he was like, okay, one, no, I don't want to write about that. Let me tell you what I do. Let me tell you how to pronounce what I do want to write about, but in the nicest way. But I say all that to say that I've been doing this for a long time and I still said it like that. I said it like that. And honestly, I have no shame, obviously, because I wouldn't have told y'all. But my thing is, how can we get past like shaming each other for stuff like that? Acting like if you don't know stuff like that, because I know the album, I just wasn't pronouncing it that way. I'm from Oakland. I've been living in New York. I don't spend a lot of time in Atlanta. I didn't know a lot of guys from the South, a lot of girls from the South. I was saying it that way.
No, and that's okay.
We got to be able to have these kind of conversations.
Right.
That's why I like talking to you all, because I can tell by looking at you three, even though I see that all three of y'all looking at me shadily, that and I don't care.
We ain't even got no shades on.
No, I'm still fanning. I'm just.
No, but we have to be able in hip hop not to be like, oh, if you don't know this, then you don't belong.
No.
I think that
there's things that three of us there's probably things that the three of us, we always say we have over 100 years of hip hop experience, but I'm not 100 years old, right? So I'm just saying what I don't know, I'm gonna reach out to my brothers because they probably are gonna know, and they're gonna reach out to me for some things.
Yes.
Yeah. So
okay. So can I tell you that I have to go, but I love talking to you all, and I hope we can talk again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good one.
You too.
Let me know when it goes up, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. Okay. And also, if I sound crazy, if I look crazy, cut it out. I love y'all. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.